I just want to talk about, you know how people will be like, ugh, she was glowing. The way that you were actually glowing when you rocked up out of your vehicle just now. I cannot. You're about to tell us a story, but tell us about Preston at the office when nobody knew that there was a story.
It's just not even fair, you know? Nobody knows that John and I are even talking or dating yet. And Preston's like, why are you smiling so much this week? And I'm like, wait, I'm smiling? I can't stop smiling. And then I realize I can't stop smiling. Mm-hmm.
There are worse problems to have.
Yes, there are. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get started.
Okay.
Hi. I'm Melinda Poitras, and you're listening to He Said, She Said, the one with books and bros. And today I am here with my Lakely Simino. Why don't you tell the people some things about yourself, Lakely?
Well, my name is Lakely, mm-hmm. and I'm 50 years old. Let's go ahead and get that on the table.
She doesn't look like it, though. Yeah, there's that.
I'm 50. I have three gorgeous girls.
Yes, they are.
I've been single mm-hmm. for 7 years. I've been divorced for almost 7 years. Live in St. Louis currently. Mm-hmm. And I actually work at headquarters currently. Oh, that's changing soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're about to tell us about that.
Yes.
What do you do at headquarters currently?
I work in North American Missions. I've been there for 6 years. I've been at headquarters almost 7 years total, but in North American Missions for 6 years as an executive secretary. I think I've done pretty much every job in North American Missions mm-hmm. that there is to do over my 6 years.
Yes. Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, your global background, like as a kid mm-hmm. and as an adult, and then just some of the pieces of the story that led you to the 7 years of singleness.
Let's sure. So I was born in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad pastored in Donisonville, Louisiana until I was 8 years old. And then they went, they were appointed global missionaries to Tanzania, East Africa. And so I went to Africa as a 8-year-old kid, went to boarding school at Rift Valley Academy, go Buffaloes. and I came back to the States when I turned 18, to go to school. So that's my global background. I got married. I went to 1 year at CLC, Christian mm-hmm. Life College out in California. Transferred to Indiana Bible College, married my now ex-husband there. He's out of Indianapolis. And we actually went to the mission field. Mm-hmm. Literally, I think it was 4 months after we were married, we were back on the mission field as AIM workers. First in Botswana, then we went to Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. Well, Russia, then Kazakhstan, and then we were global missionaries. Mm-hmm. Spent 13 years of my married life overseas.
Yeah.
Involved in global missions. And then we came back to the States, I believe it was in 2004 is when we came back to the States, met the North American Missions Board, and became Metro missionaries to Detroit, Michigan. And we were there. Back up. I had three babies, mm-hmm. two overseas, came home to have one, just, you know, so I'm a real missionary.
Yes, exactly.
But when we went to Detroit, Michigan, we were there for, I believe it was about 4 years. And he walked away from God basically and left me in Detroit. And then I ended up in St. Louis. So after 21 years of marriage, we divorced mm-hmm. and now 7 years later, you know, I've been divorced for almost 7 years, and now God is taking my life in a new direction.
He is taking your yes. life in a new direction. I kind of got to know you the best, I think, during that 7 year yes. Period, mm-hmm. and I've gotten to watch you for a long time live just the most beautiful, God-honoring life, mm-hmm. and I'm so excited about the part of the story that you're about to tell us, but I don't want to discount all the beauty those in the other parts yes, that I witnessed absolutely. And the example that you have been to me and just the funnest mom that you've been to my Kaylee.
Yeah.
I almost said best mate. What is that?
What is the best mate?
Well, technically, I just feel like Zach also owns like equal property rights to my affection. So maybe I was the best mate in Kaylee's
way. There you go.
I don't even know. It would help if I knew how to talk. But we have a lot of beautiful memories together. And yeah. this moment that you're about to tell us about, I have prayed about and waited for a really long time. So I'm just so excited. Launch in. Yeah. Go.
So North American Missions has been a lot of things to me, but the one amazing gift that North American Missions has given me is my future husband, John Lopez. So I am engaged. So that's the end of the, well, not the end of the story. That's the middle of the story, right?
Yes, but that's how the story started for all of us, though, because out of nowhere, you just... with this ring on your hand.
Yes, and that's a funny part of the story, because like we changed relationship status to in a relationship, and then within 30 minutes he asked me to marry him, so then we had to change relationship status. But
a very quick work
it seemed that way to the public, but it actually wasn't that quick. So I mean, so Nam has given me that, and I just feel blessed to have that gift from North American Missions. But long story short, I've known John for over five years, and his wife actually passed away in 2020. And he dedicated a year basically just to make sure his kids were good and to honor his deceased wife. And then he called me and asked me out. But let me back up.
Yes, please.
Let me back up.
Go back to March.
Kind of, so I'm going to go back to March of 2021 and kind of tell you where all this started. So, of course, I've known him for 5 years at this point, back in March of 2021. And I woke up one morning and just, you know, in my normal waking up kind of prayers, just felt like God just dropped in my heart and in my head, John Lopez is single. Which, you know, I'd never thought of him as single because he was married, obviously, before. So he was just somebody that I knew through North American Missions. Well, I wasn't extremely happy with God when he dropped that in my lap, because it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? Yes. And I think I kind of did, in a snarky way, say that to God, you know, because I have conversations with God like I'm having a conversation with you right now. And the conversation basically went, great, thanks so much, God. But I'm not doing anything about that. So if you want to do something, you can. But I did, you know, that resonated with me. And so trying to explain all of this in a way that makes sense.
Yes.
Every year we do, for North American Missions, there's a planning meeting that we do. And we normally do that in San Diego. That just happens to be where John is from. And he kind of helps coordinate all of that. Well, I didn't think I was going in this year, in 2021. But after that morning that happened, that next week, Brother Stuart came to me and said, you're going to go to planning with us this year. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll get to see John and we'll see, you know. So go to San Diego. And when I did see him, of course, it's in a professional setting. It's all very professional and whatever. But I did kind of at that moment, I was like, okay, yes, definitely could have feelings for this individual. So I called my sister Stacy, from the airport on the way home from San Diego, and said, you know, do you remember John Lopez? And she did remember him. And I said, so here's what happened. I need you to help me pray, because I'm not acting on this, but if God wants this, God's going to orchestrate this. It's not going to be have anything to do with me acting on it. And so she helped me pray for the next few months. So that's April, right? Planning happened in April, May, June, July. And in July, out of the blue, he calls me. You know, and I, dumb me, you know, I don't know anything. I'm totally oblivious when it comes to all this stuff. So I automatically assumed he's calling me about work because, you know, we're getting ready for a meeting and he's one of the directors. So of course he's going to call me about that, right? And so I'm sitting at my desk at work with coworkers around me, and John Lopez calls me and asks me out. And I don't get tongue-tied easily. And I really got tongue-tied that day. I think I blurted something really weird out and was immediately like, oh my God, he's going to take it back.
Yes, I can't.
Because I'm so awkward right now. But that day that he called me in late July, I look at it now as it changed. That 1 2-minute conversation kind of changed the trajectory of my life, basically, with just a couple sentences. And to me, it was almost a miracle, because, you know, a lot of times we pray for things and we wish for things and we hope for things, and maybe God lays something on our hearts, but we never dream that it actually would happen. And so for me to have prayed about this and my sister have prayed about it, and then right. he called me out of the blue is like, it was a little bit mind blowing. But you know, so our first date was actually supposed to be on August 25th when he was here in town for a meeting. But within just a very short period of time, he called and was like, I'm going to fly you to San Diego because mm-hmm. I need to see you in person. So he flew me to San Diego. I literally, and we're going to get to the house situation, mm-hmm. but I moved on a Wednesday and I flew to San Diego on that following Sunday. And it was very quickly after that first phone call that happened. Mm-hmm. And on the plane, on that morning flying into San Diego, I had a panic attack thinking, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't do this. I'm not spontaneous. I'm not like just cop on a plane, fly across the country to a man. Yes, I've known him for 5 years, but I don't know him that way. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I started praying because I literally was having a panic attack sitting on the plane, and God just said, look, calm down. You're fine. God knows how to talk to me too. Mm-hmm. Calm down. You're fine. When you see him, you're going to know. And when I rounded the corner and caught John's eye from across the baggage claim, I knew. I knew that this was the man that God had planned for me. Mm. And that everything that he'd worked out behind the scenes had led to that moment. And from there, it just kind of snowballed. Yeah. And led to the moment when he asked me to marry him. And I was overjoyed to say yes. And so now we're getting married.
Amazing.
We're getting married and I'm acting like you can see me because I'm like whatever, but all girly.
I wish they could see you. It's beautiful. You had some beautiful things to say about all the time that the Lord was working behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk to us about that?
Yes. So I mean, I think from March God was working behind this. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think from before March, probably back in 2020 and even back in 2017 and 16 when I first started working in North American missions. Right. I think God orchestrated every single moment of that. But the biggest thing that I see, if you look at everything and the way that God just orchestrated the whole house situation, right? Mm-hmm. So God has a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I've said that several times already tonight, and he just knows how to work things out to where it like blows our mind, right? Mm-hmm. So back in May, Mom and Dad decided to put their house on the market, and I was actually living with them at the time. They put their house on the market, and I knew when they put the house on the market, it was going to be quick because of the right. way the market was at the time. So I started praying and I started looking. And so at the very beginning of June, it was late May, beginning of June, I gave myself 2 weeks to find a place to live. And if I didn't find a place to live within 2 weeks, I was going to rent, get an apartment. I would have been in a year contract. So I was praying for the perfect house. The second day I was looking at houses, I walked in and I said to the real estate agent, this is my house. Mm-hmm. I love this house. Never thought I would be able to get it. We put an offer in, and within 24 hours, I was under contract on this house. No negotiations. They accepted my offer. They gave me money at closing. They were willing to do all the repairs. So that's beginning of June, right? Mm-hmm. So none of this happens to the middle of July. Mm-hmm. God knew at the beginning, before John even called me, God knew what house I needed to be in. Mm-hmm. This fast forward to July when I'm supposed to close and the closing falls through because the owner can't get the title free and clear. He needs another month, right?
Right.
So I'm able to move into the house renting for a month, and I was supposed to close on August 20th. Okay. The closing got pushed 3 times, I believe. It was either 2 or 3 times the moving got pushed back. And then they let me rent. So I'm supposed to close on August 20th. Mm. Okay. Instead of closing on August 20th, I got out of the contract it was like the middle of August. I got out of the house contract and I was able to rent month to month mm-hmm. for as long as I needed to. And instead of closing on the 20th, I got engaged on the 20th.
You got out of one contract and into another.
And that one I'm another. Okay with. But I find it, you know, I can joke about it and whatever, but I find it so, like, we serve such an amazing God.
Yes.
He's concerned about those little things.
Right.
If I hadn't have found this house and fell in love with this house, I would have been under contract on another house. Mm-hmm. Or I wouldn't have found a house and I would have been in a year contract on an apartment. God knew before John called me where I needed to be on August 20th.
Right.
Basically. And we pray these prayers and mm-hmm. we say we trust God and we say that we know that God is working behind the scenes. But when we truly see that actually come to life, mm-hmm. wow, it's mind blowing.
Right.
God really does care. He really does care, and he really does orchestrate every single part of our lives.
Right.
And every, even down to the littlest detail, like, it's mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Right. And I think sometimes, as single people, we're afraid to move or to settle into anything permanent, because what if we can't get back out of it? Or what if, you know, my buying the house gets in the way? And you are working where you needed to work mm-hmm. to meet him, and yeah. you had the house that you needed.
Right.
I just
have all of it. It and you saying that, because I was terrified, you know, so I moved. Okay. This is going to, I apologize in advance to all of you people who love Missouri. Okay. I don't mean this bad, but I've said since the day, and you have to understand, I moved to St. Louis, Missouri under duress, mm-hmm. basically, if you want to put it that. I did not want to move here.
Right.
I moved here because I had to move here. And so I used to say, as a missionary kid, when we'd come to St. Louis, I'll never live in St. Louis. You know, no way, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've said for the last 7 years living here, it'll be 7 years in October, mm-hmm. I live in a state of misery.
I know you say that.
And, you know, God has actually convicted me several times over that, because, you know, yes. That's just not the right way to put things. But that's the way my heart felt, because I didn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. But God just, he knows. He knows what we need. And me putting roots down here in St. Louis was very hard. And I tried before. That's the other funny thing. You mm-hmm. know, I tried to put roots down before. That contract fell through. Right. And I used the money for closing for Kaylee's
yes,
wedding.
Yes, you did.
And so this time, it's fallen through again. And I'm another mm-hmm. wedding. Only it's mine this time. Mm-hmm. But being committed to something was really hard for me, because I kind of felt like what you said, you know, if I commit to something here, then God can't move me.
Right.
And if I commit to this, then how do I get out of that? Mm-hmm. And God proved to me, if it's my timing and my will, I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, don't be afraid to put down those roots. Don't be afraid to take that step that you feel God's urging you to. If you're single and you think maybe this isn't going to be permanent, God makes things permanent long-term that he wants to make permanent. And God makes things permanent short-term that he wants to make permanent.
Right.
God knows the plan. He's got the big picture in mind for mm-hmm. us. Yeah.
He certainly does.
He does. He does.
I cannot. I knew we were going to do this podcast, and we've talked about this a little bit, about how I've been reading in Jeremiah, but I knew that I was coming to meet you maybe a week ago, and I was in the car and I was listening to this song. I didn't intend to, it just came on, the song Worthy of Your Name. Mm-hmm. And the bridge is, you're my author, my maker, my ransom, my savior, my refuge, my hiding place. You're my helper, my healer, my blessed redeemer, my answer, my saving grace. You're my hope in the shadows, my strength in the battle, my anchor for all of my days. Mm. You stand by my side, and you stood in my place, Jesus, no other name. And in Jeremiah 32, it talks about how the Lord shows loving kindness to thousands, and how he's great in counsel and mighty in works, and how he's made himself a name. And I remember the day. We had a huge debate in the restaurant trying to figure out what it was. Right. We finally found out that it was, before I started the podcast, I had done this video on Facebook that had, I don't know how many shares. It was shocking. Like, I'm wrapped mm-hmm. up in a blanket. I'm wearing a sleep mask. Yes. Like, it's not the most, you know, it's not the yes. most glorious time. But it's a video that I'd made about dressing up as a bride for Spirit Day and getting caught in the snow, and it's muddy in my, you know, my gas gauge is frozen shut. That's not the gauge. What's the thing we open? The door.
Yeah.
Maybe my gas gauge was also frozen because we live in a state of misery.
A state of misery.
Who can say? But I talked about how someone had ended a relationship with me by saying, like, this is the part of the Hallmark movie where, you know, the guy says goodbye. I don't even remember anymore, thank God. Yes, gross. But also how I had just been, like, driving in the snow when I was like, I'm distressed and I'm a teacher and it is wintertime and this is the beginning of the Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. And I just talk about goodness and mercy pursuing us and how goodness always gets the girl. And you called me about that. Mm-hmm. And,
bawling.
Yes, I answered the phone and you were just, like, bawling. And I was zero help. Like, I was zero help. She was, like,
so taken aback by it. I remember I got off the phone with you and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. But it needed to be said.
I was also bawling though. Like, I was on the other side of the phone and in this car actually that we're sitting in now. And I just remember, like, how hard I cried too. I don't think I let you know, but I was just like trashed. And you were just having this honest moment and you had said some beautiful things. Oh, the car next to us has started.
It's a motorcycle. It's a motorcycle.
Oh, Lord. Forever disrupting my life. Wow, no, I can't even think. So funny.
Get back
on track, back to the Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
I called you
bawling.
Yes, you did call me bawling, and I too was bawling. But you were just having a moment where you had some encouraging things to say about, like, my words and their impact, but you were very vulnerable about how you felt at times overlooked and passed over, and it's like a common awful struggle that I think you were struggling with that day. Like, how do I believe that I am worthy when nobody is picking me? And I hung up the phone and I was so angry because, like, you are so worthy of being picked. Like, you do not deserve to ever have a day like that. And I was sad and I was scared and I knew I hadn't been helpful, you know, and I was feeling all the things with you. And my prayer was so simple. I sat in this car and I was like, God, I know that you see her. Like, please help. Just help. I remember it so vividly. And I went back in my Bible to Jeremiah. I'd gone to find this verse about, you know, the Lord making a name for himself because I'd heard that song. Mm-hmm. And the verse that I have highlighted says, thus says the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place of which you say it is desolate without man and without beast, in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man, without inhabitation, without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Mm-hmm. And I have that highlighted in my Bible, and I had the name Lakely Williams written next to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, thank you, Jesus, first of all. I just want to take a moment. But secondly, that situation, like, when you call me, happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, women will tell me that they love the podcast episode that I wrote about my future husband and that they've been convicted to open their hearts again and they've started praying for him and they've bought ties. And sometimes, like, it gives me that, you know, sitting in the car talking to you in that moment feeling like, yes, because it's working so well for me. You know what I mean? Like, God, like, I hope, I hope that it's okay. But I look at this story that the Lord gave me a front seat to and let me watch. I watched you and I watched him, and he was your author and your maker and your ransom and your savior and your refuge and your hiding place and your helper and your healer and your blessed redeemer. I watched him be the answers when you had a lot of questions and be your saving grace and your hope in the shadows and your strength in the battle, your anchor for all of your days. And he did stand by your side. And he did stand in our place. And he was all of those things when you were by yourself. And then he was a provider of everything that he promised. Mm-hmm. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Wow. He is worthy of his name. And he gives us a new one.
Yes, he does.
In more ways than
one. In more ways than one. Yes,
in more ways than one.
Wow, that's amazing. See, I didn't know all of that.
I saved it on purpose. I'm sneaky like that.
Love it. Oh, yeah, and he's been all of that and more. Somebody asked me a few days ago, like, how did you make it through? Because I went through, I've been through some deep, deep depression. I mean, how do you come through a 21-year marriage, a ministry that you minister with someone, years of ministry, and in overnight, basically, I went from being a missionary's wife, a pastor's wife, a worship leader, and so much more, to just being a divorcee. How do you go from all of that to that and not go through depression? And I went through some deep depression. I went through some hard years. And somebody asked me the other day, how did you make it through? And I stopped and was like, there's days I'm not really sure. All I know is that God got me through. And I followed advice of godly people in my life. And one of those people said to me, when I asked that question, what do I do? And that was when I had just found out what was going on. And I knew that my marriage was headed towards that brick wall. What do I do? What do I do?
Yeah.
Because you're just at a loss. And she said, you wake up and you do the next right thing that you know to do. So whatever that looks like, you take the next step. And you don't worry about the third or fourth or fifth step. You take the step in front of you right now. So if that looks like, okay, I need to swing my legs over this bed and put them on the floor.
Yeah.
Now I need to stand up. Now I need to go brush my teeth. Now I need to get dressed. And so on. That's what you do. That's the next step. And you let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. You worry about today. You get through today. You get through what you need to do right now. And God's going to take care of tomorrow. And that is what I did for literally years, Melinda. Literally. Because I went through several years of depression. And I don't know. There's one night in particular I can tell you, I have no idea how I got home. Because I intended to crash my car. I intended to just be done because I couldn't deal with it anymore. But God put angels around me. And God put angels around that car to get me home. And when I got to my driveway, I don't know how I got there. But God knows, because God has a plan. And by getting up every day and just doing the next thing that I knew to do, God got me through. And that, I mean, it sounds so simple, right? You know, just do the next thing that you know to do. That's right. Wow, that sounds really simple. But when you break it down, it is simple. And that's how God moves in our lives. And that's how he gets us through the hard times and even the easy times sometimes. Just do the next thing you know to do.
Yeah.
You know? God is so good.
Yes, he is.
He is so good. And he orchestrates every single moment. I think I gave you the illustration in the restaurant of being in front of the canvas.
Yes.
You know, our good friend Colleen that paints so gorgeously. You know, if you're watching her work and you might think that she's just kind of drawing a stick figure on there and, you know, but when he reveals his work, it's way better than we ever could have done.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah. It's all so good. Let's keep taking the next right step.
Yes.
Hand in hand with Jesus.
Believing that the end will be better than the beginning.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it seems like it will be.
It will be.
Let's all keep hoping that the best parts of the Hallmark movie are just around the corner.
Right.
Let's all be better together. Quickly. Let's write your new name in my Bible.
You've been listening to He Said, She Said, where whether we actually got around to discussing any books or chatting with any bros or not, we are, now and always, so glad you stopped by to listen. We hope your time here cemented the truth found in the best book ever written and deepened your relationship with a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank you for pressing play. Thank you for making space. We'll catch you next week, same time, same place.